Coming up, I'm going to tell you how to deal with those toxic coworkers, and then what job quitters are looking for now, a bizarre blockbuster NFL quarterback contract, and I'm going to coach you up. Let's go. Helping you win at work and life by coaching you to make more money and experience more meaning in your work. I'm Ken. Let's go. All right. So toxic coworkers, this topic just keeps coming up coming up like the throw up. You know, it's like I put out the old Q&A every, I believe it's Tuesday or Wednesday on Instagram. And I just tell people over there on the gram, hey, ask me anything. Right. And so people do. And, you know, they'll ask me a variety of things, you know, from, you know, sports questions to pop culture to Coke or Pepsi. I get the occasional silly question. But the question that seems to pop up the most is a very specific question to their situation, but it's all around, how do I deal with a difficult coworker, toxic coworker? And we've talked on this show recently. I taught on how to deal with a toxic leader. So today I'm gonna give you what I believe is a very practical three-step process to consider when you're dealing with a toxic coworker. Because here's the overarching thought here that I want you to embrace. My whole purpose for doing this show is to help people do what they were created to do, right? Step into their sweet spot and live and work the dream, right? But the reality is you could be absolutely in your sweet spot, doing work that you were absolutely created to do. But if you were in a horrible culture, whether it be a smaller team culture or a greater company culture that's just horrible and toxic, let me just tell you something. You'll still be miserable. Doing the thing that you were created to do in the wrong place will absolutely burn you out. It has nothing to do with the work. It has everything to do with the environment. And the answer isn't, and I understand this, and I want to be practical. I understand the answer always isn't as simple as, well, just leave. I understand that that's not always an easily made decision, or rather, it's not always simple to execute on. It is possible, but it takes time. Got to find something to leave to. So I don't ever want to be overly simplistic and just dismiss, well, you know, if you're dealing with a difficult worker, if you do this, your kid doesn't work, you just leave immediately. No, I understand that. So I want to encourage you. And I believe these three steps will allow you to have the best opportunity to overcome the difficult or toxic teammate. Here we go. Number one, you have to try to have empathy for them. In other words, you have to give the effort to try to understand what's going on with them below the surface. One way I said it on a social media post in this particular topic was, there is pain inside of them that is causing the problems that you experience. You know, another way of saying it, and I've heard this a million times, it's a beautiful way of saying it, hurting people hurt people. Now, let's just pause for a moment and get real. If these people are hurting you, it is very, very difficult to step back from that situation and go, okay, they are hurting me with their words, with their actions. And yet, the reason they are hurting me is because they are hurting. And that is really difficult to do. Because it's the equivalent of them, you know, shooting you with a Nerf gun or one of those little things that stings. It's like, hey, pop, 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 and it's hurt and it stings. It's like, ah! And in the moment when that's happening to you, all you're thinking about doing is covering up, protecting yourself, defending yourself. That's very normal. But you have to, after the wound and the pain is inflicted, you have to be able to, while you're recovering and dealing with the pain, you also have to go, okay, is this deeply personal? Is this very intentional? Or is this a result of pain? Now, I can tell you this, whether it is unintentional or intentional, it's still it's still about pain. So it doesn't excuse their behavior. But many times we can figure out that this is not actually intentional. Remember, pain is at the source of intentional poor actions or bad actions or toxic behavior, just as it is at the source of unintentional toxic behavior. But the reality is that if we can determine and understand what the pain is below the surface that's creating the problem, now we have ourselves some perspective by which we can channel. Let's keep moving. I'll come back to that. Number two, if that doesn't work, if you can't dig into the pain and find out what's going on and treat them with some empathy and maybe some compassion, now you got to go, okay, I've tried the empathy compassion part. I understand what's going on and I've given them grace. Maybe I give them mercy and I try to win their heart over. If that doesn't work, it's not your job to be their counselor. You're their coworker. So now you got to remove yourself. Don't engage. Don't empower their behavior by engaging in the behavior. Well, Ken, that's easier said than done. Yeah, I understand. But the reality is they come over and they start talking negative to you. They come over and start telling you what to do, and it's not their job to tell you what to do. I'm telling you, folks, there's honor in going, oh, I got to take this call. And there's no call there. Well, you say you're lying. Ah, I think it's acting. Remove yourself from the situation. I don't care. You're not breaking any ethical, moral laws of the universe. Get out of there. Come up with an excuse. Hey, I got to go over here. Well, you didn't say you had a meeting. If you don't like my fake phone call, all right, I'll give you the completely guilt-free. Hey, I got to go take care of something. Well, at which point you can come up with anything to take care of. Hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Well, Ken, that's a little awkward. Yeah, but that'll shut this stuff down. Get out. Remove yourself from the situation. Avoid them. In other words, you're creating boundaries to guard yourself from their destructive behavior. And then third, and this is for you people who like confrontation and it doesn't freak you out, and I know that's very few of you, but I got to address the Ken Colemans of the world because this is where I go. I always want to start with number one. I want to try to understand what's going on, try to have some empathy and compassion. And if that doesn't work, I'm going straight to confronting them, baby. This is where you go, hey, you're over here telling me what to do. You realize you're not my leader, right? Hey, listen, I appreciate this suggestion, but I'm doing exactly how our leader says I need to do it. Or hey, can I tell you something? I actually like working here. I value this place. And when you're gossiping, It brings me down. Could you not do that around me? That's a form of confrontation. Or look at them and go, hey, I know you're hurting. I have tried to help you. I've tried to understand you. I've tried to pour into you. I've tried compassion. It's not working. I need you to act like I don't exist. Only mandatory communication. And spare me the pouting. Spare me the poisonous looks. Whatever you got to do, folks. Now, why? Why am I teaching on this? Because here's the reality. There are times when we can't change our environment right away, but we've got to be able to go into work and do our job. So, hey, you'll lose your ever-loving mind if you don't put some boundaries in place and push these problem people away from you. Coming up next, what people are searching for as they quit. All right, a couple things I want you all to do for me real quick. For those of you who are thinking about something new, we're about ready to break this down. What are people that are quitting jobs looking for? I'm going to break it down in detail. For those of you that are looking, this information is going to be very relevant, but I'm also telling you we have a lot of people that are taking my advice and using the free service of ZipRecruiter. Because here's the deal. You may be one job change away from completely changing your path, your perspective, and your potential. And sometimes a fresh start is the best thing we can do. And if that's you, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken is the site for you. Why do I endorse and promote ZipRecruiter? Well, they're a world-class service that allows you to live your life and you're not submitting 50 to 100 resumes a day. One profile in 5 minutes or less. and your resume is uploaded and they start pitching you. They are recruiting on your behalf while you're living your life, going to soccer games, football games, doing your work. They're working for you. Companies pay them so you don't pay them a nickel. Companies pay them for access to people like you. And I know my audience is serious, and I know my audience is clear, and I know my audience is hungry, and so they love you. It's free to you. They send you jobs directly because they say the company wants to interview you. Here you go. We're contacting you and connecting you directly to the company. Takes all the yuck and suck out of the job search. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Okay. Also, really quick, to our live audience on YouTube, it's a special hearty group of characters. Give us a thumbs up. You're watching for free. The least you could do is click on the thumbs up, for heaven's sakes. I'm like a parrot. That's your version of giving me a cracker and patting me on the head as I squawk along to your enjoyment. Give me a thumbs up. Let's go. Those of you that are hardcore and already gave a thumbs up, guilt everybody watching. And let's go get those thumbs up. That helps us grow. We are growing, by the way. Thank you so very much. Okay, so McKinsey & Company, very respected consulting company in the business space, and do a lot of research, got a new study out. And I'm just going to roll through this very quickly because this is very relevant to those of you who are always having an eye on moving up. And moving up comes down to two decisions as it relates to destination, right? So if we talk about moving up, climbing up the ladder, climbing on the next rung of the ladder, you're going to do that in two ways. One, internally. Two, externally. Okay, we get that. And so if you're very serious about growing, and you should be, about progressing, you've got to always have your eye, while you're focused on one eye is on the now, you must always have an eye on the next. And this is fascinating stuff. Now, I also know that I've got a bunch of leaders. Some of you are in leadership and you watch this show and you're about growing. Well, while you're in a leadership position, you're looking at attracting and retaining people. This is vitally important stuff. So here we go. Now, we all know the current environment, but I'm going to remind us to give us context. Right now, and we saw at the end of May, the latest numbers were we had about 11.3 million jobs available. That's stunning. All right, almost twice the amount of people are unemployed. And companies are still hiring. They're still paying more. So this quitting rate continues to be very high. You've heard me call it the Great Resignation. It's happening. It's not slowing down. Okay. The voluntary quit rate is 25% higher today than it was pre-pandemic. Staggering number. Now, employers who are being left behind are continuing to rely on the traditional levers, or let's call it bait, to attract talent. Those are compensation, and we're seeing a lot of people leave for that. They're going, okay, I could get a 14, 15, 20% bump. I'm leaving just for a bigger paycheck. But we're also seeing in the data a lot of people regretting that, because the high of the paycheck and the promotion wears off if you're not in a healthy culture or you're not doing work that you love. That's why we exist. I'm just telling you, the paycheck wears off. Now, compensation, titles, advancement opportunities, these are always the carrots. And those are still important for what McKinsey is calling from this study, workers that they call traditionalists. So it's a large group that go, you know what, that's all I'm looking for. I'll gut it out. If I don't love the job, I don't care, as long as I got a good check, good title, and a good chance to get promoted. And unfortunately, that's what I'm fighting. Settling for okay work. All right, now, there's a new pool of workers that has created this gap between 11.3 million jobs available and let's call it 8.3, 8.4 million people unemployed. There's a gap. Why? Well, because of these non-traditional, they're not looking for that type of stuff. They're looking for flexibility. Okay? They're looking for remote opportunities. They want to start their own business. And so McKinsey in this report has grouped these non-traditional workers into three categories. This is interesting. Do you fall in any of these categories? And leaders, listen to me. You need to be aware as you're trying to compete for talent and attract talent. And leaders, if you're not aware of this, you're going to lose the race for good talent. Here are the three groups. These are reshufflers. These are employees who are quitting and going to different employers in different industries. So they're switching industries altogether. Then there's the reinventors. These are employees leaving traditional employment to go to non-traditional work. That's the temporary gig, the part-time role, or starting their own business. And then the third group are the reassessors. These people are not quitting for other jobs, but because life has changed for them. Could be a mom that needs to go home. Daycare's not working out. Maybe there's some medical issues going on. A whole host of issues that would have a person go, you know what, for this season of my life, I can't be working the traditional job. Okay. Of the employees who quit without a new job in hand, meaning they didn't quit to a job, okay, so there's a lot of these reinventors, 47% of those chose to return to the workforce. So that tells me, again, either it was not a good financial move, they thought it would work out and it didn't, or they took care of the issue at hand and then they want to get back to work. So that's pretty fascinating stuff. Now, we've got a graphic I want to put up on the screen really quick. And I don't have time to break down this whole article. This study is huge. But look at that right there. Top reasons for quitting your previous job. Now, this is for people who quit between April 2021 and April of 2022. And this is a sizable shift. Okay? We've always seen lack of meaningful work and compensation towards the top. But look at the top reason right there. A lack of career development and advancement. I've said it on this show, Alex, before, and I was right. People don't want a better job. They want a better life. Then total compensation is second. And then closely in third is uncaring and uninspiring leaders. People leave leaders, not companies. Wow. Really interesting stuff. All right. Next, unbelievable story from the NFL world, and it's a leadership example. Kyler Murray, for those of you who aren't NFL fans, he's the quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. And he won the Heisman at Oklahoma, so all you Sooner fans love you some Kyler Murray. Well, during the offseason, there was some contentious negotiations. Would the Cardinals sign him? He stopped following him on Instagram. There was a lot of drama and all this kind of stuff. And so it was just announced this week. You ready for this? The Cardinals signed him to a $230.5 million contract. $160 million guaranteed, no matter what happens in his behavior or performance. $160 guaranteed the minute he signed it. That's $46.1 million average salary. That's not bad, Alex. Not bad at all. So those numbers is not what has caused a stir among NFL executives. The number that stood out in the contract and stood out to me was the number 4. Little clause in this contract that said Murray has to spend 4 hours per week in independent study during the regular season and playoffs. During that time, he must review material provided to him by the club in order to prepare for the club's next upcoming game. So now this is when he's not in the locker room or he's not in the training room. He's not in the film room. He has an additional 4 hours a week that he has to do homework. Now, let me tell you why this is wild. Here's the takeaway. Talent is not enough, leaders. If you're spending that much money on somebody and you're mandating that they got to do 4 hours of homework, that's probably not a good deal. And number two, they're covering their butts in case they fire him because they don't trust him. All right, folks, very important information in my hands here. This is off the old bulletin board. For those of you who watch the show and know that I coach people up and you really enjoy diving in and listening to the coaching, or maybe you've called in and gotten coached before, you know that I have limited time to be able to coach you up. And that's why I've created Ramsey Career Coaching. These are professional coaches that have been certified. They have been doing this a long time. In fact, all of them longer than I technically been doing it. They're world class, women and men. So you got a variety to choose from. What's the best fit for you? And I've talked with these folks. I've vetted them. And let me tell you something. For those of you who have the margin to do this, and it's not very expensive, kick the tires and just check me on that. For some of you, you don't have the margin at all. For those of you who have margin and you want to get a bigger shovel. Now, Dave Ramsey, if you're familiar with him, has been saying that for a long time. Bigger shovel means I can scoop more dirt out of the hole, get out of debt, right? That's the concept. Or for those of you who want to save, catch up on retirement, put the pool in, buy the car for the 16-year-old. I mean, fill in the blank. More money. Then I'm telling you, growth in your financial and professional life is directly related to how fast and how firmly you are growing. And a coach is the game changer. Any money invested in a coach, in my opinion, if you allow them to coach you, is always going to return multiple X. I don't know the number. That would be foolish for me to predict. But I'm telling you, you won't just get the money back. You'll get it back then some. That's how much I believe in coaching. Go to kencoleman.com/coaching today. We have limited spots in our first kind of trial run as we work through the best engagement for you, the customer. kencoleman.com/coaching, kencoleman.com/coaching. I'm telling you something. Breakthrough is on the other side of coaching. That's what I believe for everybody in multiple areas of their life. Michaela, what is it? Charleston, South Carolina Day? This is very exciting. I got to tell you, this might be a sign. Stacy and I were looking at a little fall getaway. Got some Southwest miles that we got to use. George Campbell told me about the hack. And I got some unused miles. Got to use them. And we're thinking about Charleston, South Carolina. Now I feel like this is a sign. So I may patch Stacy in for this call and we'll get a full breakdown from Michaela. No, I kid. Michaela's waiting. Michaela, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you so much for having me on.
You bet. What's going on?
So I am an actuary. I've been working for my company for 2.5 years now out of college. It's what I studied in college, what I've always had my sights set on. But I've been struggling with the actuarial exams that we have to pass. And because of that, my company is moving me to a non-actuarial role. And that has kind of prompted me to, and I've sort of been, I always wonder, like, is there a better career out there for me? But this is prompting that question even more.
Sure.
I know I can do the exams. I've been getting more and more test anxiety every time I haven't passed it and have retaken it.
Yeah.
But I guess my question is, what do you think? Do you have any advice? Should I look for another actuarial role somewhere else that will help support me through the exams?
Yeah, boy, this is really interesting. That's where I was headed. My question was and is, if we got over the anxiety issue and we got through it, because I believe you can with help, and you knew you weren't going to struggle with the exams, would you be on the phone with me right now? Talking about a different career option?
It ebbs and flows. About 3 months ago, which was around the time that I was taking the exam back in April.
Yeah, but see, that's tied to the anxiety of the exam. I want you to, and by the way, you already had an answer. I know this about people. I've done this now over 5,000 times. I want you to tell me what you actually were thinking that you didn't say. I'm going to ask the question one more time because it's a yes or no answer. If you knew that you would have no issues with the exam, no anxiety, and you were going to sail through it, would you be calling me right now asking for my help to come up with ideas for different work?
No.
Of course not. So, I mean, listen, sometimes I don't give people the answer that they want, but that's not my job. My job is to get you to answer it, and you just answered it. So now that tells you you got to double down. Now, the challenge is it seems like maybe the ship has sailed with your current company because you've expressed your anxiety issues. They've seen you not pass the test. And so they're going, well, we like Michaela enough to keep her around, but we're going to put her in another position. So it seems like that ship has sailed, or is it still in transition, or is it possible to go, hey, you know what? If I go get counseling on this, would you guys be willing to pay for some of it? If you're not, would you allow me to stay in the role if I go get professional help and I get victory over this anxiety and I get some tools to be able to manage the anxiety and pass the test? Is it too late to do that?
No, They've told me that I can come back into the actuarial department in our company, but it will have to be after I pass an exam and there's a role that opens up.
Okay, so for right now, the answer is it's not an option. It's down the line.
Right.
So then what you asked me a moment ago, I think becomes your best option, going to be in an actuary somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, the way people treat stuff like this in today's world is still truly up in the air. What I mean by that is if you go in the interview process and you say, look, I struggle with test taking, you're going to get one of two reactions. You're going to get a person who goes, okay, I get that. I love that. Well, we'll support you. We'll pay for, counseling or hey, we'll work with you on that. Don't feel any pressure. What seem to be the issues? It would be an open-minded response versus somebody going, oh, okay. And they kind of give you that weird smile and you know what they're thinking. Mm-hmm. They're thinking you're damaged goods.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with me? That's it's going to go one of those two ways?
Yes.
So I think for you, I would be looking for another actuary job. And if it were me, this is me. So this is not a my way or the highway suggestion. If it were me, I would commit to counseling. Because I think this is going to help you in other areas. Listen, and I'm speaking as a person who always struggled with tests. And if I had it to do all over again, I probably would have asked my parents, okay, can I go see a counselor and try to get some tools, get to the source of why I am so nervous and why I don't test well. Now, I never had any anxiety symptoms that were outward, but I know that I was a ball of nerves inside, and that's anxiety on some level. And I didn't focus well. I just didn't do well on tests. I overanalyzed that. So I would sit with a counselor and go, I tend to overanalyze. How do I determine what I believe is the right answer versus talk myself out of what was the right answer? That would have been my issue. Do you understand, Michaela?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for you, I believe in counseling, and I believe professionals, mental health professionals can give you tools that can allow you to overcome that, and you'll be a fine test taker.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's a function of you doing your job. You don't have any performance issues as an actual actuary, do you?
Nope.
It's only when you have to take the stupid test.
Yep.
Folks, this is why I hate unnecessary testing. You shouldn't even have to take the test. But let me tell you what this is. This is bureaucracy and politicians. They create unnecessary hoops that people have to jump through. Am I right, Michaela? Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You don't need to be tested. You just need an annual review and regular communication with your leader to make sure you're getting proper training and that you can actually do the job. True or false?
Yep.
Shame on your leaders. Shame on them. They ought to know that. They ought to know that you're a high performer. They've probably told you that. True?
Yep.
And yet they're moving you on because of the stupid test. They ought to go, you know what? We think the tests are stupid too, because we know Michaela gets it done. So you know what they ought to do? They ought to say to the government and whoever's, by the way, who's, I'm running out of time. I'm not even going to ask you. Here's the deal, Michaela. I want you to look onward, look upward. That's where you're going. You do the work that you need to do to get victory over the anxiety around test taking. And I know you can, and I know you will, and there's no holding you back. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.